In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I would ask to read from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's 33rd chapter, beginning from verse 20 to 24. The words are in Jesus' name. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Amen. This text brings us back in time about 2,700 years. What does this old of a text have for us people of this time? What does it have to offer? The prophet Isaiah has received from God many many sites before these events happened. In the old times, sacrificial in the olden times, they waited for the Messiah for a long time. How do we? Do we not as well wait today? Have we thought that it is much safer for us this day to await for this Old Testament from which I read this text? It is from the old time. It is thousands of years old. But our time has experienced that the Word of God has stayed the same. It has not disappeared. In many sermons, the importance of authority of grace of the Bible has been spoken of. In this next chapter, we are told how we should study the Bible. I will read one verse. It goes something like this: search for the book of God and read. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. Isaiah has written this as a summary. It is spoken of here very broadly, how man is saved. When he says, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, we know we are celebrating here, but we also know this is not what this tabernacle is speaking of. We are like the birds which we see in our logo. We gather in different places around Finland, just as birds do before their flight. With this kind of mind, we have gathered to this celebration. When we study this text, it is good to begin by telling true facts of man's life and history. Man who is born into this world is not as is spoken in this world, how man and everything else has developed. This development has been very thin in humankind, with humankind when compared with the Word of God, which was even in the beginning of time. For this reason, God clearly states who he is. He says in the 57th chapter of Isaiah, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." God sees all. When we see what Jeremiah writes of God, it explains, describes God. Jeremiah rebuked false prophets who did not speak that which God wished to be spoken of. But he said something like this: "I did not send prophets, but they ran and prophesied. If they had spoken truly, they would have converted man to God." And God said, Am I not God who is present, saith the Lord? I am not the God who is far away. Can anyone hide themselves so that I cannot see them, saith the Lord? Am I not he who fills the heavens and earth? What does this mean? There are two kingdoms. There is this visible land which we see where we live. And of which we understand very little. This temporal life which we live, we know that we are children of the day. Our age is 70 or 80 years old, and when these years have passed, they will be gone and not be remembered anymore. Temporal, in the carnal mind, man thinks he can understand the works of God. Man understands the powers of nature in the extent that he knows that the powers of nature are more powerful than the powers of man. But man does not see that there is an unseeable world by our side, and an unseeable power abides there. And Jeremiah describes these two kingdoms, temporal and eternal. And if, with a few words, we think of man's life, man does not know where he is born and where he will die. We do not control this, but God knows. All people who are born into this world, he says, before he created the world, he made a covenant with Jesus that I will create and you will redeem. And Jesus answered, your will I will perform. And God then created man from the dust of the earth to be separate from all other creation. Man has a completely different purpose, for God has meant man to have everlasting life. When God blew the living spirit into man, man became a living soul. The Bible writes, this soul, when God takes this away through death, it returns to He who has created it. For this reason, we have gathered here at these summer services to listen if the promises of God's word are still in power, if they still apply. We have heard through many gifts here of God's proclamation, how God reveals matters in small instances where we find a multitude of wisdom of God. The scale of God is different from that of man. If we would describe the scale of man, it is very thin. When Martin Luther reformed the church, he revealed the certainty of faith, that man becomes righteous through faith, and faith comes through hearing, and the hearing of the Word of God, hearing through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is that which sanctifies. But temporal man, during the time which Martin Luther lived, during those times, the last continent, America, was found, discovered, and it was discovered that the earth rotates. And this temporal sight we can see that this earth on which we live, it is here for a purpose. It is for mankind. It rotates around a greater power and will. Man can do nothing to change this. And earlier I said, I am not the one who is to fill the heaven and earth. All that which we see in the sky, all the stars rotate around the path of a higher power. In this we see how small man is. But nevertheless, God says how he remembers man. This Zion, the city of our solemnities, of its characteristics are written in the book of Revelation, Isaiah says of this Zion, the kingdom of God, will never disappear, for it is tied to the Word of God. The Word of God states, that the heaven and earth shall disappear, but my word will never cease to be. And when we today look at the world, there is much reason to accept this proclamation which God has given. Isaiah speaks of the kingdom of God. For the Lord but there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. This gospel is the power and which sanctifies through the Holy Spirit in the kingdom. There or broad rivers and streams. It is a good description of the kingdom of God. Into the grace stream I deposited sins. And this kingdom is something which we cannot see. This is a spiritual kingdom. And Isaiah writes, "For the Lord is our judge." We remember what Jesus said when he came onto this earth in Jerusalem, the temporal Jerusalem, of which this text also writes of. It is in existence. But Jesus said in this way, "He who hears my word and does not believe, I will not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to redeem it." But Jesus then continues, "But he has that which will judge him on the last day." That he was not obedient to the word of God. Man thinks that when he is cremated and spread into the ocean, he will never rise up again. But when man dies and leaves this earth, anything can be done with the body, for when the end of time is nigh, it will return to its maker. Man is an eternal being. We cannot understand this through our mind, but we understand it through faith. There is many places in the Bible which speak of this, and God has meant man to live eternally. It is damnation is spoken of. God did not create damnation for man. He created it for the destroyer of souls. And when it came to mind, we remember what Jesus said. He said in this way, this thought left my mind. This here, it speaks of the Lord is our judge, but the gospel is preached in the kingdom. We have the authority to preach sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. He then continues, the Lord is our lawgiver. When Jesus left his disciples in this world, he said and Jesus gave unto his disciples a mission with the power of the Holy Spirit to preach this gospel unto the ends of the earth. Here we are at the ends of the world, and it has been preached for thousands of years. What does the Holy Spirit teach? Jesus taught of the Holy Spirit that it is an important creed. The first creed speaks of God, the Creator. The second creed speaks of Jesus, the Redeemer and victor over death. And now the thought returned to me, which had slipped my mind, that Jesus, before his suffering, said, the head of the earth shall be judged when I will rise up. I will take you with me. When we have this portion of everlasting life, we have this awaiting us. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. This is our faith. We will one day be moved first from this grace kingdom, which is in the midst of man. We will be moved to the glory of, to the kingdom of glory. And these testimonies which are in the Bible, we people of the end times, we have, it has been testified, those prophecies which have taken place. We remember Daniel and Isaiah, and in the book of Revelations there is a lot written. The Holy Spirit teaches three matters. The Holy Spirit rebukes man of sin. The Holy Spirit proclaims that Jesus has prepared righteousness for those who believe. And the Holy Spirit testifies that the head of this world has been judged. For this reason, the Holy Spirit is preached. In this time, we have enemies. There's the world, the enemy of the souls and our own flesh. We have the wish of the Spirit to defeat the works of the flesh. For this reason, we need this Holy Spirit through which we remain believing. at the end of this text, Isaiah says, he says, thy tacklings are loosed, they could not well strengthen their mast. This God's kingdom has been tried to be overtaken in many ways. But this text then returns to God's nation, where this temporal Jerusalem exists, and the prophecies of the Bible have been testified. For it says here, the enemy cannot shake this kingdom. It is not in their power. And it says, they could not spread the sail. And this refers to how from the roots of Isaiah, the pagans shall search for the flag of nations. These patriarchs were given this promise that their nations would be blessed. Jesus teaches here. He says in this way, look upon the fig tree. When you see how they are fresh, it is springtime. When we look at the kingdom of God, it means we should be watchful. And I will say this yet, then is the prey of a great spoil divided. This means that which Jesus said, and which is in our motto, I am the resurrection and life, we will also rise up again, be resurrected. And this final verse says here, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell, which is us, dwell therein, shall be forgiven their iniquity. Is it not comforting in these end times to believe on this gospel? For this reason, it is preached from this place. Be comforted, dear brother and sisters, your sins are forgiven. in Jesus' name and blood. In this way, we can believe and remain thanking God that He has protected and carried His kingdom, and one day we will inherit the land. And this is the enemy has been judged and awaits this judgment, but we will be able to see that which we have through faith experienced. In this way, we will remain in this moment in the blessed care of God. And if there is someone here listening through the internet or other media, this belongs to all those who feel in their hearts that I have not understood this in this way. Like a certain man I remember said, he has been religious, but he has not understood it like this before. The Holy Spirit of God opens this, and an unbeliever can believe, unbelief and its fruits forgiven. In Jesus' name and atonement blood. In the end, I ask for myself. I had many doubts and temptations, but I saw how and experienced how there were many angels here who encouraged me. Can I believe my own sins forgiven? I wish to believe together with you. We will stay in the blessed care of God. Amen.